Commerce will now come to order. It is 3:20 on March 18, 2016. With us are Representative Ledoux, Representative Tilton, Representative Hughes, Representative Josephson, and Representative Chenault, our alternate. Let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off your cell phones. Today we will not be hearing House Bill 313 or 214, so if you're here for that, the calendar just cleaned up a bit. We will be hearing, again, House Bill 188, Version E. With us we have Dan Sadler, the sponsor of the bill, to give us a brief recap of the bill. His staff, Kim Skipper, is online. She's up at the Valley Conference. As members will recall, we had a presentation on this bill on March 9th. On Wednesday, we adopted the CS version E and closed public testimony. Fire away, Dan.
Well, good.
Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for having me before you again today. I apologize for not being here for the last meeting. We had some pressing business elsewhere. I'm pleased to be here today. I can't really
just say your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, sir. Gotcha. For the record, Representative Dan Sadler, District 13, Eagle River, Jay Bear, and Cherokee River. The cold does something to me here. I don't know. Yeah. So I'm sorry I was not here earlier to present the other bill, but it sounds like my chief of staff, Kim Skipper, did a good job presenting the CS and the answering questions that have been raised in that first meeting on the 9th. I can't add an awful lot more to your understanding of the ABLE Act, both federally and in state, except to add some good news that the fiscal note for the new version of the bill, the CS, indicates $60,000 the first year, $40,000 in the second year of implementation. I had the pleasure of hearing that the Mental Health Trust has agreed to front money to the state to defray those costs for those 2 years, which would mean the actual cost of the state would be zero, which I think would be a great way to help usher in an era in which Alaskans with disabilities could take money out of their one pocket and put it in the other pocket, enjoy the tax advantage benefits that the federal legislation offers at no cost to the state.
Would you like to bring anybody up for
I would love to have a friend of mine come up here. And
I think we all know him, but please bring yourself onto the record, and thank you.
For the record, my name is Jeff Jesse. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and I'd like to say that this was a hard-fought battle with the trustees, but to be honest, this was a no-brainer for us. This is a tremendous bill. It really offers our beneficiaries an opportunity to become more self-sufficient, less dependent on government programs. From the trust perspective, it's a great one-time investment over two fiscal years, but one-time investment that creates a mechanism that the beneficiaries can enjoy for generations. And the trustees were very pleased to see the bill and very pleased to be able to fund the setup costs. So.
And I would like to add that I was extremely impressed with Stuart Spielman from Autism Speaks, who was the lifeline at the previous meetings, and he's also online again today. His testimony and his ability to clear up a number of the issues we had is one of the reasons we're probably going to move the bill out in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Any further questions for anybody? Representative Ledoux.
Well, when we left the last time, I believe Mr. Spielman was looking into the reason for Section 0665260, the exemption from creditor claims that Representative Josephson and I had mentioned. It seemed to me that $400,000 was a lot of money to be exempt from any claims.
Mr. Spielman, are you with us still? Nope. Stuart, are you with us?
Hi, this is Stuart Spielman. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming through real good. Did you hear the question by chance?
Yes, I did, and I'm actually watching through the magic of the Internet. So I submitted a letter to the committee. I hope the members have seen the letter.
Looks like we have, and it's being distributed.
No, it's finished.
So I tried to address the questions that were raised at the last hearing. One additional comment that I can make is that the contributions to ABLE accounts are, of course, limited. There can only be one ABLE account, and the current contribution limit is $14,000. So very large account balances are not possible for many, many years.
What's roughly the average size of the ones that are in place right now? Do you have any kind of a handle on that?
Well, there are no... Currently, there are no ABLE programs in operation, but in my letter, I talk about the nearest thing, which is the 529 system, and most 529 accounts are rather small. I believe the average 529 account balance is $20,000. So when one considers this population, which is people with severe disabilities, people who would qualify for ABLE accounts, these individuals are strapped to deal with many expenses. And when one looks at the record for 529 accounts, it appears likely that most of these accounts are going to be rather small.
Mr. Chair?
No, thank you. Representative Ledoux, follow-up?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's a follow-up comment or it's a follow-up question because I haven't quite formulated it yet. But the fact that most of them are small now, we still have the possibility of an almost, of a close to 500,000, or, well, it's 400,000, and that's near a $500,000 account. And all of that is going to be subject to exemptions from claims. And I don't know, I have some problems with that.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the Chair, Representative Ledoux. Please don't confuse the fact that the maximum contribution can be $400,000 with the idea that the balance is likely to be $400,000. As Mr. Spielman says, in 2015, the closest analog we have is the 529 college savings plans. The average is $20,190 as of December 15, and that there's only 4% had balances over $100,000. He further notes that the poverty rate for people who are disabled between largely the age who would be qualified between 18 to 64, almost 29% of those folks were at poverty level. The third point I would make is that these allow for a $14,000 deposit each year that would take more than 27, 28 years to build up to that level, even assuming there was never a withdrawal. And my expectation would be that the accounts and these balances would be placed in there and then drawn out fairly quickly to obtain the benefit from spending. I don't know if the problem we have is in too many accounts getting to $400,000 and being protected from credits. I think the challenge is probably going to be building up the accounts to much of a level at all.
New question?
Yes. Then why wouldn't we, if they're all going to be, you know, low levels of money, why in 0665260 the exemption? Why wouldn't we simply say the money in a program, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are exempt up to an amount of, rather than, since the amount that you can put in the account is altogether could be 400,000. I'm just saying, but the response to that seems to be that most of them aren't going to be anywhere near that. Well, why wouldn't we just say that the exemption is going to have a cap?
Yeah. To the Chair, Representative Ledoux, I believe this provision is based in part upon the kind of the template of the Alaska College Savings Plan, which also has that exemption from creditors. And if it was, if we necessarily needed to put it in more explicit terms, that might be possible. You know, at this point, I'm going to ask my staff to weigh in. She's actually been dealing in the depths of the issue, and she might be able to offer some clarity.
Kim Skipper, are you with us?
Anchorage LIO.
Kim, did you hear the question?
Yes, I did. Through the chair, this is Kim Skipper at the Anchorage LAO, staff to Representative Sadler. And not only did Representative Sadler make the point of it being mimicked after the other college savings plans, but most other states that have the ABLE account are also having the same language. And they anticipate that the money would be, more money would be spent. So it would be kind of like an up and down. You'd have, you would add money to the account, and then you have many expenses that would come out. So they don't see a big steep growth in the account.
Thanks, Kim. Do you have any questions for Kim, Representative Ledoux?
No, other than to note that if I had been around when the Alaska College Savings Plan was enacted, I'd probably be asking similar questions.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Thank you. I guess since we're sort of in discussion, I had the same concern. I really liked this. We tried to figure out whether we can change this because it is this sort of federal template or something. But the way I read this, a person could, for example, buy a new car for $25,000, put $11,000 down, finance 14, and then just walk away from the 14, and there'd be no way to repossess the vehicle. In fact, they'd be fully protected. I mean, that's how I read this, unless I'm wrong. And I don't, I mean, if word got around about that, there may be some disincentive to make the loan. I don't know. I just don't know if there's some way to fix this.
Mr. Spielman, any thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that I'm...
Oh, can you please state your name and affiliation for the record?
Sure. This is Stuart Spielman from Autism Speaks. I'm not going to claim... I'm trained as a tax lawyer. I am not trained as a creditor's lawyer. So I am not familiar with the mechanisms that a creditor might use, a potential creditor might use to avoid the issue that has just been described. I certainly as a lawyer, I would, if I were working for an automobile company, I would certainly do whatever I could to protect my interests, and there very well may be ways to protect those interests, but I'm not going to address that beyond what I've written in the letter. You know, I will again say, and Kim Skipper brought this up, in my review of federal and state sources, the 529 assets and the ABLE assets are often protected. I did not review every single ABLE statute, but I did review several, and I noted specifically the Florida statute and the Ohio statute. And the pattern that we see in the provision that's under discussion now appears to be fairly common. And as the testimony has shown, this follows a federal template. I have offered the materials that I provided. I think go into the creditor's rights issue in some more detail. I found what I thought was a useful discussion in Morningstar Advisor, complete with a table, and so that is what the pattern is. There is. What we see is that states and in federal bankruptcy law, there is protection for these assets. So, more than that, I'm afraid I can't offer.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I would make the offer to work with you to see if it's possible to come up with a better understanding of that issue, and if it's necessary to offer any amendment to it. I sit on the next committee referral, and I would be glad to work with you to address any concerns you have at that point, being a financial matter, and finance might be an appropriate place to do that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Any further questions? What is the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move CSHB 188, version 29-LS0787-E from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there any opposition? Seeing or hearing none, The bill will move out of committee with attached fiscal notes. And with that, we will adjourn at 3:35.
Wow.